Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chav Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored by First Anonymously Lizchus Rafor Shlema Bekarov to our good friend, community member Mordechai David Ben Norad Hensha, together with all Chalei Yisrael. Also by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Jerry Gross in honor of a friend and a Chashva Rav who's in the ICU desperately battling the COVID-19 virus, and in the Zchus of the Daf Shir V'chol Cholei Am Yisrael. Also, a fellow listening to the Shir from France, L'zuchus Rafua Shleima of his Rebbe, Reuven Shmuel Ben Mazal, and all of the Cholim of the Strasbourg community in France. Also by Moshe and Leora Berger, in honor of their children, Tamar Berger, a nurse in the NYU Pediatric ICU, Meir Goldberg, a clinical pharmacist in Kingsbrook Medical Center, and Sigal Goldberg, a pharmacist at South Nassau Hospital. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and I wish continued Hatzlacha to all those fighting this virus, and Refuah Shleima to all of those suffering from the virus. So again, we're holding on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the very, very end of the page. We are at Rav Ashi Amar. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish our discussion about the different reasons or the possible different sources, the possible different makaros for the Isser of Sreifas Katshim on Yom Tov. So we had three out of the four yesterday. So we're just going to finish up by mentioning the fourth of the makaros for the Isser of Sreifas Katshim on Yom Tov. And then once we do that, the Gemara is going to move on to bring us three different sources for the heter hana'a from truma tamea as you burn it. You're not allowed to eat truma tamea, you have to burn truma tamea, but even as you burn it, you're allowed to get hana'a from it as you burn it. And we're going to have three different sources for that idea. Then the Gemara is going to compare the relative severity of kadshim to truma, and that's going to inform us on how to make the drashos from the psukim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis why not to use itran as one of the oils, and that's going to lead to a discussion of the relative obligation of lighting candles and of bathing for Shabbos, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a reshus. What exactly is the level of obligation of washing up, of bathing one's body, bathing one's hands, face, and feet in honor of Shabbos? And then the Gemara is going to define the terms shalom and Tova as used by Yirmiyahu when he laments the loss of both of them at the time of Chorban HaBayis. That Yirmiyahu in Megillas Eicha says that he loses a sense of shalom and a sense of tova. So what exactly is he referring to when he says that he loses shalom and tova? Then the Gemara is going to have four definitions of Ezehu Ashir, who is considered a rich person. So we're going to have four different definitions at the end of the daf, and then at the very end going into tomorrow's daf, why not to use tsari as one of the oils? We're going to have two reasons for that. So let's begin. We're at, again, the very last few words of Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Fourth explanation why it is that it's aser to burn kachim on Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Amar Shabbason. It says the word Shabbason by Yom Tov, so that's asay. That's a mitzvah asay. So it's a mitzvah to be shoves mi melacha. V'havle Yom Tov asay v'lo sasay v'en asay dochas lo sev asay. And therefore, burning fires on Yom Tov is both a violation of an asay and a violation of a lo sasay. And even though there is a mitzvah of burning kachim, but the asay of burning kachim is not going to be docha both the asay and the los asay of Yom Tov. So the asay of Srifas Kachim Psulim of Be'ish Tisrofu, that when you have kachim that are possibly after burn them, is not going to be docha both the los asay and the asay. If I'm not mistaken, the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion when we say that an asay is not docha los asay va'asay, of what exactly the mechanics of that are. Do we say that, look, if Yom Tov is both an asay and a los asay, that's a simin of its relative severity, that this is a very serious thing, and therefore it's not going to be pushed away at all from in favor of a mitzvah saseh? Or do we say, no, you take a look at the mitzvah saseh, whatever it is, the mitzvah of burning kachim, and that's docha, the lo saseh of fire on yantif. However, even when once it is docha, that lo saseh, you're still left with an asay by yantif. So it's true, it's a regular asay docha lo saseh, but even after you're finished with asay docha lo saseh, you still have an asay left. So it's not that we look at something that has both an asay and a lo saseh and view it as just being automatically more severe, but it's just a technicality in terms of the way the dechia works, that there's nothing left to be docha the assay. The nafkamina would be whether you'd be chayv malkus if you did it. That if you say that the assay is really docha the los assay, so there's no los assay, so you're not going to be chayv malkus. But if you say that no, the assay and the los assay are both still fully intact because they're a reflection of the general severity of the Isser of Yom Tov, then you would still be chayv malkus for it. So it says Gemara, b'yom tov hu da'asir ha'b'chol shapir dami. So what we get from all of this, from the fact that we say you're not allowed to burn shemen strefa on Yom Tov, is that right, you're not allowed to burn it on Yom Tov, but on a weekday, you're allowed to burn it, and you're allowed to even get hana'a from the burning of it. So my taima, what's the makar for the heter to get hana'a from the shemen at the time that you're burning it, from the truma tamea at the time that you're burning it? Where do we see that there is such a din that you're allowed to get hana'a from it? Now, the Tosus points out in Maseches Yevamos that, and over here, although over here he rejects it, that why is it that I need a limud to tell me that there's a heter hana'a? In general, everything is mutter until there's a limud that tells me that it's aser. So Tosus suggests that it could be that we're relying on what the Gemara is going to say, that since with regard to Meiser Sheni that becomes Tamei, there's a drasha from the Torah that it's aser to get hana'a from it at the time that you burn it. So we would have learned from a Kal V'chomer that Truma is more chamer than Meiser Sheni. So if you're not allowed to get hana'a from Meiser Sheni at the time that you're burning it, you shouldn't be allowed to get hana'a from Truma at the time that you're burning it either. And therefore, the default position would be that it's Asr Bahana'a. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so why Taka is it Mutter Bahana'a when you're burning Truma Tamea? So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities. Possibility number one, Amar Rav, Kishem Shemitzvah Lisrof, Kachem Shenitmu, Kach Mitzvah Lisrof, Truma Shenitmeis. Just like you have to burn Kachem that became Tamei, you also have to burn Truma that became Tamei, Va'amra Torah, Bishas Biura Tahane Mimena. But the Torah tells us that while you're burning it, you're allowed to get Hana'a from it. Now, the Tosus points out that Rashi over here writes that Kachim is similar to Truma, and therefore that the Gemara makes this comparison, that just like it's a mitzvah to burn Kachim that become Tamei, so to the mitzvah to burn Truma that becomes Tamei. But then Rashi also says that the mitzvah to burn it is Kadesh lo yikashel ba'achilasa, so that you don't come to stumble by eating the Truma Tamei. So Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Kach that there's a nafkamina la'alacha between these two reasons why it's why you burn Truma Tamei. According to the first reason, that the makar is from burning of Kachim, so the mitzvah is dafka b'sreifa, because Kachim, the halacha is that the Kachim that are possible, you have to dafka burn it. There's no other way to get rid of it. But if the concern is just shlo yikashel ba'achilasa, that you shouldn't be nichshal when you eat it, so then it doesn't have to be sreifa. It could be destroyed in any way. It could be ashbasasa b'chal davar, right? Like you have a machlokas tanaim when it comes to destroying chametz, whether it's ein bir chametz al sreifa or ashbasasa b'chal davar. But if the point is just that it shouldn't be around, but it's not a technical mitzvah of sreifa, then it could have been ashbasasa b'chal davar. It could have been that you could destroy it by flushing it down the toilet. By the way, when it comes to chametz, we paskin that ashbasasa b'chal davar may ikar adin. The Shulchan Aruch recommends to be machmir to try to burn it, but if there's ever a reason that you can't be machmir to try to burn it, such as when Erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos, where you can't burn the chametz that remains on Shabbos, or according to many posts, according to Moreinu Rav Shechter, certainly this year, when it comes to if everyone starts fires in their backyard, it could become a very dangerous situation, and they're not going to be doing any communal burnings because of social distancing. So then, the better way to get rid of it would be hashpasasa b'chal davar, which is me'ikar adin. Anyway, what is the accepted shita? Anyway, that's as far as chametz is concerned. But we're not talking about chametz over here. We're talking about truma. So we're saying that the Torah tells us b'shas biura, you're allowed to get hana'a from it. Says Gemara, heichan amar Torah? Where does the Torah say that you're allowed to get hana'a from it as you're burning it? So midrav Nachman, tamar Rav Nachman, Baravua, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Va'ani hine nisati l'chas mishmeres trumosai, it's trumosai in plural, b'shtei trumos akasa medaber. We're talking about two separate trumos, achas truma tahora, v'achas truma temeya. V'amar achmana, and the Pasuk says, l'cha, that I'm giving it l'cha, shalachatei la'asika tachas tavshilcha, that even truma temeya is yours. Truma tahora, of course, you're allowed to benefit from truma tahora. You eat truma tahora if you're a kohen. But even truma temeya, that you're not allowed to eat, you still benefit from it. Still lecha. How? Use it when you're burning it. You're allowed to be nena from the fire as you're burning it. So that that is source number one for the idea that Truma Temeya, that a person is allowed to get Hana'a from Truma Temeya as they burn it. Says the Gemara V'Yisema, source number two, there are going to be three in total. Source number two, Midr Rabbi Avo, it's from the Drash of Rabbi Avo, Dom Rabbi Avo, Am Rabbi Yochanan, that the Torah tells us when it comes to Vidoy Maestros, when you're acknowledging that you've taken care of everything you were supposed to with all your Maestros, including your Maestro Sheni, it says, that he says as part of the vidui that he didn't burn the meiser while he was bituma in order to get hana'a from it. So we learn from mimenu iatamavir that from meiser sheni that's tame you're not allowed to burn and get hana'a from it. Avla tamavir shemishal trumashinit meis. You see from there that there's apparently an iser of getting hana'a from meiser sheni that's tame as you're burning it, but it's dafka meiser sheni. But if you have something similar like Shemen Shel Truma that became Tameh, you are allowed to get Hana'a from it as you're burning it. So that's source number two for the idea that you're allowed to get Hana'a from Truma Tameh as you're burning it. It's because the Torah goes out of its way to say not to get Hana'a from Maaser Sheni as you're burning it. So we assume that Mimenu as opposed to Truma. Says the Gemara, how do you know as opposed to Truma? V'eima Mimenu yatamavir avlatamavir Shemen Shel Kodesh Shenitma. Maybe it's telling us don't get Hana'a from Maaser Sheni when you're burning it, but do get Hana'a from Shemen Kodesh that became Tameh. How do you know it's as opposed to Truma and not as opposed to Kodesh? So says Gemara, Lav Kal V'Chomeru, isn't it a Kal V'Chomer that Kachim that became Tameh is Asur B'Hana'a when you're burning it? Because Ma Maisra Kalam Ratora Lo B'Yati Menu B'Tameh Kodesh Chomer Lo Kolshkein. It can't be that you're allowed to get Hana'a from Kodesh that's Tameh when you're burning it. You're not even allowed to get Hana'a from Maiser when you're burning it. And Kodesh is much more severe than Maiser. So it must be that what are you allowed to get Hana'a from? Like we said, that it's Truma that's Tameh you're allowed to get Hana'a from. Iyachi Truma Nami Le Mekal V'Chomer says, but what are you talking about? Truma is also more Chomer than Maiser Sheni. So the same Kal V'Chomer that you have to tell you not to get Hana'a from Kachim that's Tameh when you burn it, you should use that same Kal V'Chomer to say that you're not allowed to get Hana'a from Truma that's Tameh when you're burning it. So says Mar, yeah, but Haksiv Mimenu. But the Pasuk says Mimenu, and Mimenu teaches us that there's something that you are allowed to get Hana'a from when you're burning it. So if you're not allowed to get Hana'a from Maaser Sheni when you're burning it, and you're going to say a Kal V'Chomer to Kachim, and a Kal V'Chomer to Truma, so then what's left? What else would you be able to get Hana'a from it? So it must be that you are allowed to get Hana'a from Truma Temeya that you burn. Says Mar Umar Isa. But at the end of the day, yes, you have a drush of Mimenu, but Mimenu is highly non-specific. The Torah never tells you what you are allowed to get Hana'a from. All you get from the word Mimenu is that there's something that you're allowed to get Hana'a from, and Kal V'Chomer would tell you there's something you're not allowed to get Hana'a from when you burn it. How do you know that Kachim is the something you're not allowed to get Hana'a from, and Truma is the something you are allowed to get Hana'a from? Maybe you should flip it. Maybe Kachim should be what you are allowed to get Hana'a from, and Truma should be what you're not allowed to get Hana'a from. Maraisa, how do you know to learn the drasha in this way? So says Gemara, Mistavra Kodesh Lomimai Itna. It's more Mistaver that it should be usher to get Hana'a from Kachim when you burn it, Shekain Panak Akas, because there's a simen, Panak Akas, there's a simen of the Rashi Tevis of Pei Nun Kuf, Ayin Chaf Samach that relate to the six chumras that Kachim have. That since Kachim has six chumras associated with it, so just like it's usher to get Hana'a from Maaser Sheni as you're burning it, it's usher to get Hana'a from Kachim Temeim as you're burning them. What are these six chumras? Number one, pigul. If you have a machshava while you're doing the avoda to eat from the basar of the kachim chutz l'zmano, beyond the zman that the Torah designates for eating that kachim, it becomes pigel, and you chayv kares for it. No, sir, if you're makriv it with all the proper machshavos, but you actually leave some over beyond the zman that's ra'oi, so that leftover meat is asr b'achila. And karban, it's called the karban that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash. And mi'ila, if you get hanah from it b'shogeg, you're in violation of mi'ila. And v'kares, if you eat it b'tumas ha'guf, you're chayiv kares. And asr lo onein. It's asr for an onein, which, by the way, if you're keeping score in terms of the simin was pei nun kuf ayin chaf samach. So where does onein fit in? So that's the samach. It's asr lo onein. The second letter of the word asr is samach. So asr li onein is the simin. So it's not like the most perfect simin, I guess, in terms of remembering. I don't know how you remember that relates to onein, but what's an onein? So Rashi over here points out that an onein is the way we normally define it, someone who lost a relative and they have not yet buried that relative. So during the time between the Misa and the Kavura, Rashi writes, the person is an onein. However, the Achronim point out, the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Turei Evan, both point out that the Sugya Maseches Zvachim and Daf Kuf Amud Beis tells us that throughout the entire Yom HaMisa, a person is considered to be an onein as far as Achilas Kodshim is concerned. Meaning an onein on a Daraisa level doesn't really have too many Yisurim. On a Daraisa level, he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, he's not allowed to eat Kodshim. But the definition of an onein on a Daraisa level is different than the definition of an onein on a Drabanan level, right? The Yisur to do mitzvos and all of that, that's all Midrabanan. So the fact that Avelus doesn't start yet, all of the mitzvos of Avelus don't start yet, that's all part of the Drabanan definition of an onein. That's what we normally think of as an onein until the time of Kvura. But as far as the Dinim D'oraisa are concerned of an onein, that applies throughout the entire Yom Rishon, even after the Kvura. So that's what the Achronim point out, that Rashi seems to be less than precise over here by saying that it's only up until the Kvura. As far as the Dinim of Avelus of an onein, the Ptur Mitzvos, that's only until the Kvura. That's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. But as far as these halachas are concerned, the Isser of an onein to eat Kachim, which is derived from the Isser of an onein to eat Maaser Sheni, which is explicitly in the Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Lo achalti ba'oni mi menu. So you see, an onein is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, and we learn from there that he's not allowed to eat Kachim. That Lechora should have applied throughout the entire first day. But anyway, these are the six halachos that apply to Kachim. As opposed to Truma, none of these six halachos apply. There's no Isser of Pigul and Nosar by Truma. Truma is not a Karban, it's only a Matana to Kohanim. A Zar who's Nana from Truma is not in violation of Me'ilah. Someone who eats it Betumas Aguf is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, but he's not Chayiv Kares, so that's considered less severe, and an Onein is allowed to eat Truma. Why is Misa B'dei Shemayim considered less severe than Kares? So Rashi writes that when it comes to Misa B'dei Shemayim, a person dies young with Misa B'dei Shemayim, but not Ariri. He doesn't die childless. With Kares, a person dies childless as well. So Kares is a more severe of the two punishments. Tosla says that the Chiv Kares is that the person dies before the age of 60, whereas Misa B'dei Shemayim, there is no age to it. It's just that before it's his Zman Kavua that he otherwise would have died. So that's the difference between Kares and Misa B'dei Shemayim. Tos quotes Yerushalmi in Maseches Bikurim that Kares is before the age of 50 and that Misa B'dei Shemayim is before the age of 60. So it seems to be Machlokes Yerushalmi and Bavli whether Kares is at the age of 50 or at the age of 60, and therefore whether Misa B'dei Shemayim is before the age of 60 or just before whatever his man was. But either way, however you want to say it, Kares is certainly more severe than Misa B'dei Shemayim. And since Kachim have all of these six chumras that Truma does not have, so Mela, we're going to say that if one of them is going to be usher to get hanah from as you're burning it, Kachim is going to be what's usher to get hanah from as you're burning it, and not Truma. So says Mara Adraba, I'll give you a whole bunch of chumras that Truma has that Kachim does not have. Truma lo mamitna shekein machbaz simin. Truma has four chumras that are symbolized by the letters Mem Chei, Pesen, Peyen, Mem Ches, Hey and Zion, though they has four chumras as well. So maybe we should say that Truma should be asur to get on from when you're burning it. What are these four chumras? Number one, the mem is Misa, that it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. So that's its own chumra, that there's a chiv of Misa B'dei Shemayim. That's how Rashi writes. A lot of the Rishonim point out that when the Gemara wants to show that Kachim is more chumra from Truma, we use the fact that Truma's Misa B'dei Shemayim as a kula, because Kachim is chayiv. kares. Whereas a truma is only misa b'dei shemayim because kares is more chamur. And now when we're going to turn around and we're going to try to show that truma is more chamur, we're going to use the fact that it's misa b'dei shemayim as a basis to tell me that it's more chamur. So that's why a number of the rishonim say that it means over here if a zar eats truma that it's misa b'dei shemayim as opposed to by kachim that certain types of kachim are mutr lazarim like basar shlamim. It doesn't. It's not only nechal lekanim. Kachim kalim could be eaten by non kohanim as well. So that's what we're saying, that there's misa at all for someone who is a non-Kohen, as opposed to by Kachim, there's no punishment for someone who's a non-Kohen, there's no Isser for someone who's a non-Kohen in many types of Kachim. So that's how most of the Rishonim understand, not like Rashi, that it's only that it's misa b'dei shemayim as opposed to kares, because that l'chara would have been a kula. The second chumra that we have for Truma over Kachim is Chomesh. If a non-Kohen eats it b'shogeg, he has to pay the Kohen the value of the truma plus add an extra chomesh, as opposed to kodesh, the part that's mutter to the kohanim, there is no mi'ilah and there's no chiyuv chomesh for a zar who eats it. By kachim, there is mi'ilah, and you do have to pay a chomesh when you violate mi'ilah, but the part that's given to the kohen is not subject to mi'ilah, and therefore there's no chomesh on the part that should have gone to the kohen. As opposed to by truma, all of it should have gone to the kohen, and therefore there is a punishment of paying back an extra chomesh. So you have chomesh as well, ve'in lepidyon. And also there's no pidyon to be motziyit l'chulin, as opposed to kodesh, there is pidyon. If it develops a mum before you shecht it, you could be poda kachim. You can't be poda truma. And fourth, v'asur lezarim, that it's asur for zarim forever, as opposed to kachim. Some are mutar lezarim after you do the zrikas hadam. There are different types of karbanos that a non kohen is allowed to eat after the zrikas hadam, like ma'aser behema and karban toda and a karban shlamim. Or there are all the kachim kalim you're allowed to eat after you do the zrikas hadam. So those are four chumras that truma has that kachim doesn't have. Again, what are we trying to do over here? There is a drasha from the pasuk that tells us explicitly that as you're burning maaser sheni, you're not allowed to get hana from it. Yet we say there's a drasha to tell us there's something else that you burn that you can get hana from the word mimenu, and yet something else that you burn that you also cannot get hana from. So we're just trying to figure out, how do I know that truma is what you may get hana from and kachim is what you may not get hana from? So we said, must be that kachim is what you may not get hana from because kachim has six chumras over truma. No, says the Gemara now, maybe truma should be what you may not get hana from because truma has four chumras that kachim does not have. So answers the Gemara, hanach nefishin. It's just a numbers game, that there are more chumras that kachim has than truma has. Kachim has more things that make it more chumra than truma has that over kachim. There are six things versus four, and that's why it's more mistaver to say that the iser hana'a while you're burning that which had become tame relates to kachim that became tame kavachomer mimaiser, and the word mimenu that tells you that you're allowed to get hana'a from something that had become tame as you're burning it relates to truma, which only has four chumras associated with it. Now the Ritva points out, what was the Hava Amina? It's obvious that there are more chumras by kachim than there are by truma. So the Ritva points out that we thought pigel, nosar, and karban don't count as chumras because it's not shayich for truma at all, as opposed to the chumras that truma has are shayich by kodesh, and we just don't apply them. It's just not shayich to talk about pigel and osur because there's no avoda by truma, so there's no possibility. It's not even something that's possible to talk about of having a machsheves chutz l'zmano. There's no zman for achilas truma. There's no machsheva during avoda because there's no avoda. The whole thing doesn't make sense when it comes to truma. So that's the hava amina, says the Ritva. And not only is it the hava amina, it's even the maskana according to what the Gemara is about to say. Or the Gemara says, maybe you're right, maybe there aren't more chumras by kodesh than there are by truma, but there's another reason why we're more machmer by kodesh. Kodesh chamor, sheken onesh kares. That the only factor we look at is the onesh. If you want to know the severity of a particular iser, you don't need to give lists of how many chumras it has, how many specific dinim it has. Look at the onesh. The onesh is often an accurate reflection of the Chumra Se'isr, right? That's what the Gemara Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin tells us, that in Beis Din, they used to have Batei Kvaros for the Haruge Beis Din, for people who were killed by Beis Din. But yet, they would have two different cemeteries. They would have a cemetery for the Niskalin V'Nisrafin, and another one for the Nechnakin V'Naragin. Why? Because you're not allowed to bury a Tzaddik Eitzel Rasha. You're not allowed to bury a Tzaddik next to a Rasha. People should be buried next to people who are of the same basic religious observance that they are. So l'chara, none of the people that were killed by Beis Din were tzaddikim. They were all, I mean, they were killed by Beis Din. They were, it's not an easy thing to do, to get killed in Beis Din. And yet, just even that minor difference between someone who's chayiv, the more severe of the misa, skila and sreifa, is enough to warrant being separated out from those who are chayiv, the less severe of the misa Beis Din. So you do find that there is such a that the chomer ha'onesh is a reflection of the chomer ha'isr. It's a reflection of the level of tzidkus even that a person has. Moreno Rav Shechter used to tell us that he thought that that's what the basis is of shuls owning sections and cemeteries. That they assume that we're not going to measure everyone's tzidkus, but basically people of basically same level of religious observance tend to belong to the same shul. So that approximates the tzaddikim etzel the tzaddikim and the Rishayim etzel the Rishayim without actually identifying which ones are which. You know, we just have general sections. That's why many cemeteries have such a chelek harabanim, also without identifying which is which. But there's a chelek harabanim in many cemeteries just to identify people of a basic basically of the same level of religious observance. Anyway, says the Gemara further now. So far we've had two explanations of what the source is. How do I know that you're allowed to benefit from truma as you're burning truma tamea? So we said there are going to be three. So here's the third one. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar Kra, it's based on the pasuk that it says by truma titein lo. The pasuk says reishis deganucha tirosh kavitzarecha, that titein lo, you have to give it to the kohen. From the word lo, we darshin that you give the kohen lo truma that's ra'oi for him to use, meaning truma tahora that he's able to eat, but velo le'uro, you don't give for him for his fire. Or means light in Hebrew, and uro is his fire, not for his fire. That's truma tamea, that's asur ba'achila. It's not right for the kohen to use in the normal way to eat. All he would ever be able to do with it is use it as firewood. So the pasuk is telling us that you don't have to be mafresh truma from peros that are tamei. You can't be mafresh trumas from peros that are tamei to cover peros that are tahar. You have to be mafresh from the tahar on the tahar and from the tamei on the tamei. It's about mechlal bas urohu. But what you do see from here is that it's bas uro, is that once it becomes tamei, that's what it's destined to do. It's destined to be used as firewood, and firewood is something that a person is allowed to get hana'a from. So you see that that you're allowed to get hana'a from truma tamea as you are burning it. So that's the conclusion of that sugya, that there are three limudim that we have of how I know you're allowed to get hana'a from truma as you're burning it. One is because the pasuk the Torah tells us hinei nasati l'chas mishmeres trumosai, two types of truma, including truma tamea that you can benefit from. One is from by Meiser Sheni that it says mimenu, you're not allowed to get hana'a from Meiser Sheni that you burn, but mimenu yatane, but you're allowed to get an off from truma. And then the third one, that titein lo, lo v'lo l'uro, mechal debas urohu, that you see that it is something that is supposed to go into the fire. Now, says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Shmuel had said that you're not allowed to use itran as an oil for lighting Shabbos candles because of kavod Shabbos. So my time, what's the problem with itran? Amar Rav mitoch sherech harag, zera shamiyanichena v'yetzei. It apparently has a very foul odor, and we're afraid therefore that you're going to leave and you're going to go eat in the dark somewhere nowhere near the light, and that's the problem. Shnos Elio on the Mishnayis, he points out that, oh, so why do the Chachamim allow it? Why is it only Rabbi Shmuel who says not to use this? Why do the Chachamim not have the same problem? So the Chachamim must hold that there's no Chiyuv to have your Suda Shabbos in a place that's light, which is exactly what the Gemara says. Amalei Abaye V'yetzei. Abaye says, yeah, what's a big deal? deal. So you leave. Well, why is it such a problem if you're going to walk out of the room? So Amalei Shani Yomer Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. No, because Hadlakas Ner on Shabbos is a Chova for the covenant of Shabbos. That a Su'uda Chashuva is marked by candles. If you don't have candles lit, if you don't have light in the room, then that is symbolic of a Su'uda that is not a Su'uda Chashuva. The Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rav Zivda Va'amri La Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rava Amar Rav Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, that lighting Neros in the place where you eat on Shabbos is a chova. Rechitzas yadayim raglayim b'chamin arvis, washing your hands and feet in warm water on Erev Shabbos. Arvis means Erev Shabbos, Lekavod Shabbos, Rishus, that's only Rishus. And Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav and he says, V'ani omer mitzvah. And I say that washing is not a Rishus, rather washing is a mitzvah. Meaning it's not a chova, there are three levels. There's chova, there's mitzvah, and there's Rishus. So it's not a chova like Hadlakas HaNer, it's a mitzvah. That that someone who's mekayim, it is mekabel schar, but if you're not mekayim, you're not going to be punished for it. That's how the Darkei Moshe distinguishes between that which is a mitzvah and that which is a chova. That which is a chova, you get punished for if you don't do. That which is a mitzvah, you don't get punished for, but you're mekabel schar for doing it. Rabbeinu Prachya suggests a little differently, that according to Rav, washing is only a rishus. Even if you have water on Erev Shabbos, you don't have to go looking for water on Erev Shabbos. Even if you had water that on Erev Shabbos, you don't have to use that water. It's Rishus Biyado to choose to wash or not to wash. Whereas Rav Nachman says that no, mitzvah, that if you have water, you better use it. It's just not a chova in that you don't have to go looking for the water. And that's what differentiates them. Chova means you have to go out of your way to find the material through which you can fulfill this. Mitzvah means if you happen to have all the material there, then you have to use it. But you don't have to go out of your way to look for it. So you don't have to go looking for warm water to wash with. And Rishus means that it's totally optional. Even if you have all the material there, you don't necessarily have to use it. In the Chidush Rav Yuchasim Laran, he says that that's why we don't make a bracha on the Rechitza, because it's not a mitzvah gemura, it's only a minag. Meaning, l'chora, bathing for Shabbos is a mitzvah. Why is it that we don't take a bracha, we don't say a bracha before we take a shower on Erev Shabbos? So he says, because it's not a real full-fledged mitzvah, it's not a chova, and therefore would not require a bracha in advance. One could imagine other reasons as well, that a Beis HaMerechatz is not a place that's appropriate for a bracha, so since you can't make the bracha right away at the moment that you're doing the showering, so then maybe that would be another reason. Okay, the Mordechai brings a raya from the Maisa with Hillel that we're going to have in about a week from now about bathing on Erev Shabbos, and from many other stories in Shas about bathing on Erev Shabbos, that apparently Hillel used to be Chofef Rosho. He used to comb his hair also, or shampoo his hair on Erev Shabbos, so the Mordechai brings a raya from there that it's a mitzvah to do that as well. That's what the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch as well, that a person should at least be rochitz panav yadav raglav, but really it's a mitzvah lirchutz kol gufo, that a person is supposed to shower their entire body on Erev Shabbos, and that's always been the minhag of Jews, even in societies before it became popular to bathe so frequently as once a week. The Jewish people are always makbid about this to the extent possible for the covenant of Shabbos to dafka bathe before Shabbos. So anyway, so my mitzvah, says Gemara, what's the makor for the mitzvah of rechitza on Erev Shabbos? Dam Rav Yudah Merav, kachay min hagish Rav Yudah Bar Eloi, Erev Shabbos mevim lo arevam leicham, and on Erev Shabbos they would bring him a pot full of warm water, v'rochitz panav yadav raglav, and he would use it to wash panav yadav raglav on Erev Shabbos, umisatef yoshev b'sadinin and hamitziyotzin, and he would sit in a talus with talus with Lavan and Tcheles on the corners, v'doma l'malach Hashem tzvakos, and he appeared like a malach Hashem. So from the fact that Rabbi Dovrai Eloi used to bathe on Erev Shabbos, we're not focused right now on the tzitzis part, the fact that he would bathe on Erev Shabbos teaches us that it's a mitzvah to do it, because minhag Yisrael Torah, and if that's what he did, it must be that it was a minhag, that it's a mitzvah to do it. The Achronim point out that it's a little bit difficult. How could the Rav Nachman bring a raya that it's a mitzvah from from the minhag of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai. What's the source that this was the minhag of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai? It's Rav that taught us that it was the minhag of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai. Rav is the one that says Rechitza's Rishus. So Rav is the one that says Rechitza's Rishus. Rav Nachman says, oh, you know how I know that it's a mitzvah? Because you told us, you Rav told us about this minhag of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai. How could Rav Nachman be cholik on Rav based on what Rav himself teaches us was the minhag of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai? So that's what the Chida in Machzik Brachan or Chaim Sim Reish Samach says. Rav Nachman is not really arguing on Rav. He's being mefaresh Rav. That when Rav says Rechitza is a Rishus, it doesn't mean that it's mamish a Rishus. A lot of times when Chazal use the word Rishus, it means not as big of a chova as something else. In comparison to Hadakas Nero Shabbos, it's a Rishus. It's not as big of a chova as Hadakas Nero Shabbos. The prime example of this is what Tosfos writes in Maseches Brachos, Tfilas Arvis, Rishus. Is Marav optional? Says Tosfos, absolutely not. Marav is not optional. It's just not as much of a chova as Shachris and Mincha is. It's not on the same Madrega, but it doesn't actually mean it's a Rishus. Anyway, so the story continues with Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai, Vayu Talmidav, the Talmidav of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Lai, Mechabin Menu Kanfei Ksusan. They would hide the corners of their garments from him because they didn't have tzitzis on them. Samarlan, Banai, Lokach Shanisi Lechem. He says, wait, didn't I already tell you about the Shail of Sadin B'tzitzis, that if you're wearing Big Day Pishtan, whether you're chayiv in tzitzis, that Beis Shammai potrin. Beis Shammai says that you shouldn't put tzitzis on because tcheles can only be made out of tzemer. Tcheles is a dye that doesn't take to linen, it only takes to wool. So if you're going to put tcheles on, you're by definition putting wool in the garment. So Beis Shammai holds that it's an issur of shatness to put tzitzis into sadin, into pishtan, because it's by definition a mixture of wool and linen. Ubeisil mechayvin, but Beisil says that you're chayiv because Beisil darshens the smichas apsukim. It says losil b'shatnes, and the pasuk says gedilim ta'asalach, that you're supposed to make tzitzis. That the mitzvah sasei of tzitzis is docha the lo sasei of shatnes v'alacha kedivrei Beisil, and we paskin like Beisil. So why in the world aren't you wearing tzitzis on your dalad kanfos? I know your dalad kanfos are made out of pishtan, but you need tzitzis anyway. You need tcheles anyway. V'inu savri, and the talmidim held that you're right. The halacha is like the Beisil on a doraisa level. That yes, asei docha lo sasei, and even sadin is chayiv in tzitzis. But midrabanan gzeira mishum ksus laila. They were choshes that they might put tzitzis on a ksus, on clothing that's designated for nighttime wearing, which is technically potter from tzitzis, and then that's going to be an isra of shatnis shalom b'makom mitzvah, because it's not going to be a chiyuv of tzitzis on a ksus laila. The Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Sadia and Beis says that how could the chacham do that if there's a mitzvah daraisa to put tzitzis on the beged, even on a ksus yom? So how could they say, oh, because I'm afraid I might do the same on a ksus laila, so I'm not going to do the mitzvah daraisa? So the Gemara formulates based on that question the famous klal that yesh koch b'yad chum lakar davar min haTorah b'shevi al tase, that the chum have the ability to uproot a davar min haTorah, even a din daraisa, as long as they tell you to do it passively. Says Tosus, what do you mean passively? You're putting on a beged of dalad kanfos without tzitzis, isn't that active? Says Tosus, no, that's passive, meaning putting on a beged of dalad kanfos is not an iser. Once you have the beggar of dal kanfos on, you now have a chiyuv of tzitzis. Only once you're already wearing it. Klei kufs are not chayiv in tzitzis. If it's in your closet, it's not chayiv in tzitzis. Only once you're wearing it, the chiyuv of tzitzis kicks in. Oh, now you're not putting tzitzis on. That's b'shevi al tasa. So that's considered to be oka davar min haTorah b'shevi al tasa and not b'kum va'aseh. Now, when it comes to ksus laila, it's interesting. Rashi over here comments that since the pasuk says uri isim oso, the chamdarshin that dafka a beged that you wear biyom and you're able to see the tzitzis is chayiv in tzitzis, but a ksus laila is potter from tzitzis. Rashi sounds very much like what the Rush writes in Maseches Menachos, that the din is about whether it's a ksus hamiyucha the laila. Is it pajamas or is it daytime clothing? And not whether it's actually nighttime or actually daytime. So if you don't have to be on any Zooms and you decide that you want to spend a pajama day the whole day, so then you would never be chayiv in tzitzis. It's all about whether ksus hamiyucha the laila or ksus hamiyucha the yom. But the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Tzitzis disagrees based on the way the Kesef Mishnah explains it. He paskins that Ksus Laila means any beged that you wear at night, even if it's a daytime beged is pater, and any nighttime beged, any beged that you wear during the day, even if it's pajamas, is going to be chayiv. So that's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim as to what the definition of the of Ksus Laila and Ksus Yom is. Says in Gemara Vayter, Vatiznok Mishol Nafshi Nashisi Tova, that Yirmiyo is lamenting in Megillas Eicha how Shalom has left his nefesh and he's forgotten all tova. So my vatizam we shalom nafshi am Rabbi Yevol zuad dakas ner b'Shabbos. What does he mean? He lost Shalom at the time of the Churban. They no longer had a ner to Shabbos to light, and since there's no ner, there's no Shalom because, like we said before, Shalom beisun ner Shabbos provides a person with Shalom. Nashisi tova. And what does it mean that he lost out on tova? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah zo beis hamerchatz. It means the ability to bathe that was also lost at the time of the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan Amar zo ruchitzis yadayim raglayim b'chamin. It's just washing his hands and feet in warm water. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar zo mita noa v'kelim noim sha'aleha. It's having a nice bed, a nice kelim that on that bed that was also lost at the time of the Churban. Rabbi Abba Amar zo mita mutzas v'isha mekushetas l'talmidei chachamin. That it's a reference to a made bed and a woman who is mekushetas, but mekushetas over here doesn't mean physically. It means that she is proper midos and would be ra'ui to marry a Talmud Chacham, that was gone at the time of the Churban, that there were no people that were raised properly, there weren't young ladies eligible that were raised properly to be proper Eishes Talmidei Chachamim. So that was all gone at the time of the Churban, and that's the Nashisi Tova, that's the Tova that was that Yirmiyo was lamenting. So that's going to lead us into what we'll start with tomorrow, which is the Gemara's discussion of Ezehu Ashir. So if that's what was lost at the time of Churban, what is considered to be Ashirus? So we can get into four definitions of Ashirus, Bezras Hashem, in tomorrow's Shir. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.